Welcome back to the Deep Dive. So, last time we talked all about why historical newspapers are such a goldmine for genealogy, right? All those amazing stories they hold.
Exactly. We covered the why.
So now we're ready to roll up our sleeves. Today's mission is really about equipping you with the strategies, the actual techniques, to effectively search these amazing resources.
Yeah, the how. How do you actually sift through potentially millions of pages to find your people?
Think of this as your toolkit, your guide to becoming maybe a master newspaper sleuth.
I like that. Yeah, it's definitely about moving beyond just typing in a name and hoping for the best. There are much smarter ways to approach it.
Okay, so let's dive in. You start searching an archive. What's one of the first hurdles? Something that's maybe not as simple as you'd think.
Well, probably the biggest one right off the bat is the name itself. How our ancestors were actually identified back then.
It's not always the full legal name we use today.
Not at all. I mean, you'll find first and last name, sure, but you absolutely have to look for things like first initial and last name. Like, J.P. Higgins could easily be your great-grandfather John Patrick Higgins.
Okay, initials.
And nicknames. Nicknames with last names were incredibly common. You might see Billy Johnson everywhere, but his actual birth certificate says William.
Ah, right.
And don't forget titles, you know, Mr. Smith, Mrs. Brown, even Rev Davis. Sometimes that's all they used, especially for more prominent folks in town.
Okay, that's a lot of variations just for names in general. Now, you mentioned Mrs. Brown. What about women specifically? Especially in, you know, older papers, that's a whole other layer, isn't it?
It really is, and it's crucial. If you're looking for female ancestors, particularly in the 19th or early 20th century, you have to search for them under their husband's name.
So not Mary Smith, but Mrs. John Smith.
Exactly. Or okay. Even Mrs. J. Smith. It was just the standard convention. So if your searches for her first name or maiden name aren't working, try her husband's full name with Mrs. in front.
Mm-hmm.
It's off of the key.
That makes total sense. It reflects the times, doesn't it? Okay, so we're thinking about different name formats. What else can trip us up with names?
Spelling. Oh, definitely spelling.
Ah, yes, the classic genealogy problem.
It's huge in newspapers. Spelling just wasn't standardized like it is today. Plus, you had regional variations, phonetic spellings based on accents, and simple typos made by the typesetter, the compositor.
So my ancestor, Catherine, might be spelled with a K, or maybe just Kate, or something else entirely.
Precisely. You need to try C-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E, K-A-T-H-R-Y-N, maybe even C-A-T-R-I-N-A. Think phonetically. Try common abbreviations. Keep a really open mind.
Okay, so flexibility is key with names and spellings.
But
let's say we do that and we search for John Murphy and we get like 10,000 results because it's a common name. Now what? It feels overwhelming.
Yeah, that happens all the time. And that's where you need to move beyond just the name and start using other keywords related to your ancestor's life.
Like what sort of things?
Think about what you already know. What was their job? Their occupation. Where did they live? Not just the city, but maybe the street name or neighborhood. Were they involved in a specific church or club?
Right. So instead of just Sarah Miller, maybe try Sarah Miller Midwife or Sarah Miller Elm Street.
Exactly. Adding those details can dramatically cut down the irrelevant hits. And here's another layer. Think about synonyms for those keywords.
Synonyms.
Yeah. If your ancestor was listed in the census as an aviator, maybe the newspaper called him a pilot or an airman. If he was a teamster, maybe search for a driver or hauler. Think about the language they actually used back then.
That's smart. Broaden the related terms.
You could even try searching for the names of known neighbors or friends. They might appear in the same social notice or news item.
Okay, good tips. So more keywords help narrow it down. Now, what about when we want to find an exact name or phrase like John Quincy Adams and not just any John near an Adams?
That's where phrase searching is your best friend, using quotation marks.
Okay, tell me more.
If you put quotation marks around a name or a phrase like Robert Jones, you're telling the search engine, only show me results where these words appear exactly like this, right next to each other.
So it won't find an article that mentions a Robert somewhere and a Jones somewhere else on the same page.
Exactly. Without quotes, it often looks for the words anywhere on the page. With quotes, it looks for the exact phrase. It gives you much more precise results.
So start with quotes for precision.
Generally, yes. It's a good starting point, especially for specific names or known phrases. But if you put quotes around, say, John Jack Smith and get nothing, then maybe try removing the quotes or searching just John Smith to broaden it out again. It's a bit of an art.
Okay, quotes for precision, remove them to broaden. Got it. Now, most of these newspaper sites have filters, right? Little checkboxes and drop-downs. How important are those?
Oh, filters are absolutely invaluable, especially when you're dealing with a flood of results. The two most critical filters for genealogy are almost always date and location.
Makes sense. If you know your ancestor lives somewhere specific during certain years.
Exactly. If you're drowning in results for William Davis, tell the system. Okay, only show me William Davis mentions in Boston between, say, 1880 and 1920. That immediately makes your task manageable.
That seems pretty straightforward. Any catches?
Well, don't be too rigid sometimes. Be prepared to experiment. Maybe broaden the date range a bit, just in case. Or check newspapers in nearby towns or counties.
Why is that?
Because news traveled. A significant event, a wedding, a major accident, even a prominent death, might have been reported in papers outside their immediate hometown. And sometimes, you know, things like probate notices or estate sales might appear months or even years after someone passed away.
Good point. So flexibility even with filters. Besides date and location, are there other filters that are particularly useful?
Yes. Definitely look for filters that let you target specific types of content if the archive offers them. Things like obituaries, marriage notices, legal notices, social news.
Because those sections are usually packed with juicy details.
Absolutely. Obituaries are often genealogy, gold, parents' names, maiden names, spouses, kids, burial locations, sometimes even biographical details. Marriage notices give you parents' names, dates, locations, maybe even the wedding party members who could be other relatives.
So using those content filters can save you wading through, like, advertisements or general world news.
Precisely. It helps you zero in on the sections most likely to mention your ancestors' key life events and family connections.
Okay, this next one sounds interesting. Leveraging visual clues. What does that mean?
It's about using the search results page efficiently. Most archives show you little pictures, thumbnails of the newspaper page where your hit appears.
Have those little snapshots.
Well, don't just click on every single one. Train your eye to quickly scan that thumbnail. Can you see your ancestor's name highlighted? Or a key phrase? Does the surrounding text look relevant?
Like a quick visual triage.
Exactly. It can save you so much time. You can often tell from this snippet if it's likely your person or just someone else with the same name in a completely different context without opening the full page view.
That's a great time saver.
And another trick related to that. Sometimes a thumbnail will indicate multiple hits on the same page. Look for little arrows, like forward and back arrows, right on the thumbnail preview.
Okay.
Clicking those arrows often lets you cycle through each highlighted match on that page directly within the thumbnail view, so you can quickly check all the hits on one page without even loading the full viewer sometimes. Super efficient.
Wow. Okay, that's a power user tip. Now, what if we do all the searching, we try variations, filters, everything, and we still come up empty, but we suspect there should be something? Or maybe more newspapers will be added later.
That's where search alerts come in. This is a fantastic feature offered by many archives.
Search alerts, like it tells you when it finds something.
Exactly. You can usually save your search criteria, the names, keywords, date ranges, locations you used. Then the platform will automatically run that search periodically in the background.
And if new stuff gets added, that matches.
It sends you an email notification. Hey, we found new results for your Ebenezer Scrooge London 1840s search. It's brilliant because these archives are constantly growing. More papers are digitized all the time.
That's like having a little research robot working for you 24/7.
Pretty much. Set it and forget it, and you might get a surprise discovery in your inbox weeks or months later. Highly recommend using alerts for any searches you feel should yield results eventually.
Okay, great advice. So we've covered a lot of specific techniques, but the outline also mentions thinking more broadly and contextually. What does that mean?
It means stepping back from just tunnel vision on your ancestor's name.
Yeah.
First, think broadly in terms of geography. Don't only search the newspaper for the tiny town they lived in.
Check nearby towns too, or bigger cities.
Yes, especially county seats or regional hubs. News often flowed outwards. Maybe your ancestor was involved in county court proceedings, or maybe a relative lived in the next state over and visited, generating a social notice. Think bigger than just their home address.
Okay, broaden the geography. What about contextually?
Contextually means thinking about the events and the environment. If you can't find your ancestor by name, try searching for known events they might have been part of. A specific flood, a town celebration, a local election they were passionate about.
Even if their name isn't mentioned, the context might help.
Right. Or just search for the name of their street or their church or their employer during the time they lived there. See who else is mentioned. What was happening locally? It helps you build a picture of their world. And sometimes you stumble across them indirectly or find clues about associates who are mentioned.
That's a more indirect route, but I can see how it could lead to breakthroughs, building the whole picture. Now, you mentioned something earlier, OCR limitations. What is OCR again, and why do we need to be mindful of it?
Okay, so OCR is optical character recognition. It's the software that computers use to read the scanned images of the old newspaper pages and turn them into searchable text.
The magic that lets us search in the first place.
Exactly. But it's not perfect magic. Especially with old, faded, smudged, or tightly printed newspapers, the OCR software can make mistakes. It might misread letters or words.
So Smith might become Snoof or something.
Or O'Connell might become O'Connell without the apostrophe. Or even O'Sennell. It happens. Which means if you search for the perfect spelling, the computer might not find it, even if it's right there on the page, just because the OCR messed up.
Oh, that's frustrating. So how do we combat that besides trying spelling variations we already talked about?
Well, sometimes you need to be deliberately less specific in your search. If searching for Margaret O'Connell dressmaker gets zero hits, try just Margaret O'Connell. Still nothing. Try just O'Connell dressmaker. Still nothing. Maybe even just O'Connell within the right date and location filters.
So removing terms might help bypass an OCR error on one of the other words.
Precisely. By simplifying the search, you increase the chance of matching the parts the OCR did get right. It requires some creative thinking and trying different combinations.
Okay, that's a really practical workaround. Now, finally, there's a suggestion about doing some prep work before we even start searching. What kind of prep?
This is actually really useful. Before you just jump in and start typing names, take maybe 15, 20 minutes to just browse a few editions of the newspaper you're interested in for the right time period and location.
Just read the old paper.
Yeah, just browse, get a feel for it. How do they typically refer to people? Do they use middle initials often? How were women usually listed in social columns? What kind of local news did they cover?
Ah, so it's like getting familiar with the landscape before you start hunting.
Exactly. Understanding the common patterns and style of that specific newspaper at that specific time can really help you tailor your search terms much more effectively right from the start. It informs your whole strategy.
That makes a lot of sense. Do a little recon first. Wow, okay. These techniques really do feel like they could make a huge difference, moving beyond just that basic name search.
Absolutely. By thinking creatively, using the tools like filters and phrase searching, being aware of things like name variations and OCR issues, you dramatically increase your odds of finding those amazing genealogical details hidden in the pages.
It's about being strategic, flexible, and a bit persistent, I suppose.
That's the key. Remember, you're not just looking for data points. You're uncovering stories, piecing together lives. These techniques are your toolkit for doing that in historical newspapers. Don't get discouraged if the first few searches don't work. Keep experimenting.
Right. So as you get ready to dive back into those archives, maybe think about this. What forgotten story, what little detail about your own family's past might these strategies help you finally uncover?
Go give it a try. You never know what you might find.
We really encourage you to take these tips and start exploring. The past is definitely waiting.